The dream that filled our veil.
Lifting heart
and praying victory.
Bible School will have our closeout on Saturday, July 16th at 11 o'clock a.m. All VBS workers and assistants. And we had a wonderful VBS and God blessed it. Coming and going. I believe He blessed it enough that we're going to be able to bless the church.
Amen.
we were able to do it without taking anything out of the church budget.
Thank God.
Amen. Amen. And we run 2 weeks Bible school here. 2 weeks. And I talk to a lot of pastors. They run 3 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and it's we save all the big bucks for the pastor's anniversary. That runs a week. Amen. We got to pay all the preachers to come in and feed everybody. The honor of the pastor as our city continues to deteriorate. The church is on every corner. Amen. I'm not going down that road. That is not the lesson for the day. Amen. Look what I've done. All right. We're in Luke. Luke. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. 27 through 32. I've been looking at this lesson. We just finished. Yes, let's stand and honor God's word. Amen. Luke chapter 5. Familiar text. Talk about Levi. And that's his Hebrew name. His Greek name was Matthew, if you go to the other gospels. 27 through 32. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with him. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
That's all right.
Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we're so glad that you came to save sinners. We're so glad that you came to seek and save those that were lost. Father God, if you didn't, we'd all be most miserable and we'd be lost today. But glory be to God. In the person of your Son, Jesus Christ, we come and ask you to just bless a soul today. Touch a heart today. Touch a mind today. Speak to a spirit today. Let no one leave this place, Father God, as they came in. Fill us with your Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jesus Christ, the lover of sinners. Jesus Christ, the lover of sinners. Somebody ought to say, I'm glad.
I'm glad.
He loves sinners.
He loves sinners.
Amen. Ephesians 2 and 1 said we was dead in our trespasses and sins. But he quickened us. We didn't quicken ourselves. Your brother, your husband, or your mother didn't quicken you. They may have hollered at you and shook you and told you was crazy, but they didn't quicken you to come to the Lord. For by grace are we saved through faith. And not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. And God's gift to this world was his son. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. And we talked about that on Wednesday night. That word believe means whosoever commit his ways, trust all his trust in him, shall be saved. Do you trust him today?
All right.
Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? Do you have a personal, intimate relationship with him? Did you talk to him last night? Did you speak to him this morning? When you woke up and blood was still running warm in your body. When your children got up and they were arguing and cussing and swearing at each other. Did you say, thank God for my children? God, save them one day. Save them one day. Amen. Amen. I know when the children are here wake up cussing. I had some foster kids that used to wake up cussing. Let's look at Luke. Very familiar verse, and we preached on passages before it, and I didn't have a chance to go all the way through it. Many of you know I like to preach systematically, and I like to preach expositionally, verse by verse, but at the time I preached Luke 5 about the four of a kind beats a full house, you know, I was auditioning for the pastorate here, and I think that was my last sermon. When Jesus was in the house. When Jesus was in the house. It says, after these things. And immediately you have to ask, what things you talking about? Jesus had just went to a house. Peter's, we say it was Peter's. You go back to Luke 5 and I believe in 18. And all the doctors and the lawyers came and they were all sitting in the house. And there was a man that was stricken with the palsy, and he had four friends, and these four friends were so desperate to get their loved one to Jesus, they took desperate measures. And they climbed up on the roof, working together, men working together, climbed up on the roof and tore out the ceiling, tore out the tile, and lowered their friend down at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus blessed him and blessed their friends and forgave them of the sins. And the Pharisees rose up and they were upset as they always are every time they show up. They murmuring and have something to say. They wouldn't know a blessing or a miracle if they seen it. And Jesus said, what is it easier for me to say your sins are forgiven or for me to say rise up and walk? And Jesus told a man to rise up and walk. And when he rose up, they had something to say. Listen, verse 26 says, and they were all amazed. And they glorified God and were filled with fear. So when I say folks see a miracle, it's scary. There's someone in here that's dead in their sins. Come to know the Lord. And so I'm walking in the newness of life. You're going to scare some folks. When God saved me, I scared some folks. They said, oh, this brother didn't getting it back together. God didn't touch them and saved them. That's some scary stuff to the unsaved. If you don't believe me, try it. Say, God saved me. And watch your friends scatter. Like they seeing a ghost. Oh man, what happened to you? You don't talk like you used to. You don't walk like you used to. There's been a change in me. What more can I say? Listen, they said, we have seen strange things today. Oh, but they were in for some more strange things. Jesus said, oh, you're going to see stranger things. Just keep on following me. And we follow him into verse 27. He said, and after these things, he went forth. Jesus was always on the move.
Yeah.
See, if you're serving God, you're on the move. If you know the Lord and you in here, you're on the move. You're not sitting idle like the church of Laodicea that was lukewarm. See, moving water always stays either hot or cold.
Right.
He says, and he went forth. And this is what he said. And saw a publican.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a publican is a name given to the most notorious hated individual. I mean, in that day, somebody would say to you, you're worse than a publican. If you really wanted to condemn somebody, hurt somebody's feelings, you would say, you know what? You're worse than a publican. I'm not talking about a Republican. I know y'all had some problems with Kasich and SB, all that. I'm a state employee too, and I got some problems with that. I'm not talking about a Republican. A publican. A publican was a tax collector. And a publican in this time, the Rome ran everything. So a publican worked for Rome, and a publican usually was a Jew or Israelite working for the enemy. It'll be in the same sense when you talk about the Holocaust. Having a Jew telling the Germans where the Jews were hiding at. It would be in the same sense. This person was hated. This person was hated with a passion. But he was protected by Rome. No one dare touch him. Publican. Like the mailman.
Okay.
You wonder why folks don't mess with the mailman? You're going to jail. You're going to a federal penitentiary. You mess with the mailman.
Amen.
That's why Dave and Debbie walk around and they ain't got to spray for people. They got to spray for dogs.
Right.
Folks ain't going to mess with them. Give me your mail. They protect it. And it's the same sense as a publican. They were protected. And here's Levi. Now here's the ironic thing about this. It says, and Jesus went forth and saw. That word saw means he looked intently on this thing. That word means behold. He paid attention to it and he saw a publican. Nothing unusual about that. They were everywhere.
Yeah.
A publican was always, you had a bridge across, you paid a tax. Wherever you carried an animal, you carried a tax. If you care, I mean, I'm pretty sure when they brought this man that was stricken on this cart, Levi or Matthew charged him.
Yeah.
Anything that was being carried into Capernaum or out of Capernaum was leveled a tax. This had to be a prosperous, lucrative day for Levi. Because wherever Jesus went, there were multitudes of people following him. So everyone that crossed that bridge or crossed his toll booth, he charged them a tax.
Yeah.
I mean, how many of us love the Pennsylvania Turnpike?
Mm-hmm.
That's a picture of you going to the Pennsylvania Turnpike, get you about $10 out.
Right.
And drop them in there one by one. And you're like, man, this is just 2 miles and you got another toll. Okay, where do you think America got that from? Rome. Rome. Okay, you get on a high toll pack turnpike now. If you don't have an easy pass, it's going to cost you some money to get to Toledo. But listen to this. This is so ironic. He said he saw a publican. This caught Jesus' eyes. Named Levi. Wait a minute. Levi is short for what? Levite. A Levite received no inheritance from God. They were supposed to be taken care of by the people. This is what Deuteronomy says. Deuteronomy 12:19 says, take heed to thyself that thou forsake not the Levite as long as thou livest upon this earth. Now Mark chapter 2 says that Levi was the son of Alphaeus. And Alphaeus is a Greek name which meant he was a chief, he was a teacher, he was a leader. So here is Levi totally out of his calling. This will be an equivalent of some of us that like to frequent Mountaineer Park and seeing the pastor sitting on the slot machines. Hey, Pastor. Not good. Not good. So here's Levi at the sitting at the receipt of custom. Now that word sitting, I mean, he was just comfortable in his sin. Oh, how many of us when we was in sin or still in sin, comfortable?
Amen.
Yes, I mean, not a care in the world.
Yeah.
On our way to hell and our cart's on fire and we just comfortable.
Yes.
Comfortable. Satan put the best socks on that cart. You don't feel a thing. He was sitting comfortably at the receipt of custom, counting up all his money. Counting up all his money. Now here's a Levite that wasn't supposed to work for nobody but God. A Levi was only supposed to work for God in the sanctuary.
Come on.
And the people were supposed to take care of Levi.
Amen.
See?
And Jesus busted him. Caught in the very act of sin. Levi was caught in the act. Listen to what he said. And he was sitting at the receipt of custom. Charging folks for everything that they brought in. We got customs in America. A custom officer in America is almost like a military person. So Levi was just, hey, he had armed folks around him. You couldn't bring anything in without Levi going through your stuff. He went through your stuff, took what he wanted, and if you said anything, he had a couple of Roman soldiers behind him. And God called him. God looked at him and saw him and said, man, that's an unusual sight. That's an unusual sight to see a Levite sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, and I'm at Levi seeing God piercing eyes on him, oh, what's he going to call me? He probably going to call me a dirty, low-down rascal, robber, crook, thief. He was all that. And here's the compassion of Jesus. Now, you got to remember, Jesus was healing folks that needed to be healed. He healed a demoniac. Up until this time, he had healed a demoniac, if you go to Mark. He healed Peter's mother. He healed him. He healed the lepers. He was healing. He was on a healing ministry through this time. He was healing everybody. But here we see spiritual healing. Here you see spiritual healing. Levi was hurting. Levi was hurting. He's seeing God, and God looked him in the eyes, in the person of Jesus Christ, looked him in the eyes, and said, follow me. Levi knew what that meant. Now, rich young ruler didn't understand what that meant when Jesus said, go sell all you have and follow me. The rich young ruler looked at his stuff. Levi looked at his ink pen and his notepad, and that's all he took. He picked up his ink pen and his notepad, and I believe he told some of his boys, we're getting ready to party tonight, so go fix the house up, because I'm gonna spend one more night in it. He said, follow me. That means you become my disciple. Do what you've been called to do.
Yes.
Serve God. I'm God.
Uh-huh.
So here's Jesus saying, I'm God.
He knew it.
Talking to a Levite who knew the word of God. Levite knew the word of God. He knew the word of God. He was an Israelite who knew the word of God. And when God said, follow me, he had to.
Yeah.
This is what we call it an effectual call.
Come on.
So we have two calls that go out.
Right.
You have the effectual call. That's the call that Abraham got when God called him out of the air of the Chaldees and said, leave your family.
That's right.
And Abraham didn't know where he was going, but he left. This is the call that Saul had when he was heading down Damascus Road. And God knocked him off his horse. This is the call that Zacchaeus got when he was hiding in a sycamore tree. And God said to Zacchaeus, come down, make haste and come down. And Zacchaeus immediately emptied his pockets and said, if I've robbed a soul or anything, I'm going to forgive him.
Yes.
Double what the law says. That's that effectual call. Not a general call to go out. And folks are just here. And you go all the way from the general call. You go, oh, that was a good message, preacher. Oh, man, you preach today. And you get in your car and you reach under your seat and, you know, and
whatever.
And you go on about your merry way and it hasn't affected the way you live. The general call will not affect the way you live. The effectual call will pull you out of the muck in the mouth.
Yes.
And it will make you immediately fess up.
Yes, sir.
You'll say, you know what? Woe is me. Woe is me, oh wretched man that I am. And you will immediately move. This is that effectual call we see here with Levi or Matthew. Levi was his Israelite name. Matthew was his Greek name. And if you go to Matthew's version of it, he calls himself Matthew the whole way through. Matthew. Listen what he did when he got the call. First thing he said, he left all.
Yes.
He left his position of authority. He left his position of wealth. He left everything. That's the positive things that he left. He left the negative things too.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He left probably some anger. He probably left some hatred. He probably left some bitterness. He probably left a spirit of thievery and theft and extortion. He was an evil, wicked man. And when God called him, he walked away from all that. And he became a man of grace. He became a man of mercy. We get to that. This is the second thing he did. He rose up. Now, I know some of the translations you read, they say he got up. And that's all right. But the word of God in the King James verse says he rose up. See, to me, that's saying that the same power that God used to raise his son, that resurrection power, that's what some of us need in here. Some of us in here need resurrection power to rise up out of the mess that we're in. You can't rise on your own. You just can't get up. The weight of sin is so heavy, you just can't get up. Oh, I've been there. I'm talking from what I know.
Yes.
We need the Lord.
Yes.
Look at Mark 10. Familiar verse. Familiar verse. Talking about blind Bartimaeus, who also got that effectual call.
What did he say?
Mark 10, I believe around 45. This is what he said. Mark 10, around 45. Okay, I'm at 49. I was close. Blind Bartimaeus is on the side of the road crying for mercy. Son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace.
Yes.
Oh, the world don't want to see you saved now.
All right.
Now you start crying out for the Lord, the world will tell you to shut up.
Right.
You don't need that.
Amen.
Especially if you're drinking and getting high. Folks like partners when you're doing that. I mean, misery love company. Shut up. We don't need the Lord. We doing good. You got a good job. As long as they don't test you for smoking marijuana. He said, shut up. They said, so hold your peace. But he cried the more, a great deal. Let me tell you something, folks. You're unsaved in here and you start crying out. Don't let nobody tell you shut up.
Cry louder.
I don't care if it's your mama. I don't care if it's your daddy. I don't care if it's your brother. Cry louder. Cry a great deal more. And cry the right name. Cry, Son of David. Have mercy on me. Oh, listen what it did. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. There's that calling. That's an effectual call. When Jesus calls you, it's effectual.
Come on now.
I ain't wanted nothing Bartimaeus could do about this call. He wasn't hanging up this phone. You're going to answer this call. When Jesus calls, you're going to answer.
Sure.
If you get the effectual call. Now, the general call, you know, that'll come across your TV. I ain't answering that. Okay? That's for their physician somewhere. And Jesus stood still and commanded him. That's right, he got the right to command. He commanded the wind. He commanded the waters. He commanded the sea. He's a God that can command what he want to command. We serve that kind of God. If you're not serving a God that can command you, then you're the God. If God is telling you to do something, you can tell no, say no, then you're in control, not God. Some of us stuck in the muck in the mire right now because we're not listening to God.
Uh-oh.
I'm in control of this God. Listen. And he commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man. He wouldn't be blind long.
All right.
And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Okay? Okay? That word comfort means be strong. That don't mean get an easy boy recliner. Don't that kind of comfort. Be strong. Comfort means be strong. See, you need strength before you can rise. You need strength before you can rise. And be a good comfort and rise. These are the people saying to him, rise, he calleth you. And he doing the same thing Matthew done to Levi. Casting away his garment. See, when you come to the Lord, you got to cast away from yourself first. Can't come to the Lord all that mess. You can't come to the Lord all that mess. You got to throw some stuff off. You got to throw some stuff off. And he's casting away his garment. That garment represented all the world, all the filth of the world that was on him. And he just took that garment off and threw it. Cast it as far as you can go. I take them boys fishing, and they don't care. If the fish bite 10 feet, they cast in this 60 feet if they can. They'll cast it all the string off of it. Daddy, look how far I cast that. With a fish biting right here. They didn't cast it off 60 yards. Kapoof, got the 1 ounce sinker on there. That's what that word casting means. Get this stuff away from me.
Yeah.
Get this stuff off of me, and then he cast away his garment, and then he said, he rose.
Yes.
He said he got up, he said he rose. Yes. And came to Jesus. And that's what we see here in Matthew, back in with Levi back in 27. It said he left all. He cast all that mess off. I don't need this anymore. I got Jesus. I got Jesus, and I don't need all this mess. And then after he left it all, he had the strength to rise up. He rose up. He rose up. We sing that song, Up From the Grave, He Arose. When he was dead, in his trespasses and sins. He was dead spiritually. And he rose up into spiritual life. And then after he rose up, he had only one thing to do. He followed him. He followed him. He became his disciple. You know what that word follow him means? He lived a different life. Are you living a different life? When you line up your call, if you call, you say you're saved, you say God has saved me, God has delivered me, and are you living different? Are you living different? Are you walking different? Are you talking different? Listen to what Jesus said. Listen to what Levi did. It says in Levi, this is Luke speaking. When you look at the scripture in Matthew, Matthew won't take any credit for any of this because he's so humble. He won't say he did anything.
Amen.
It says in Levi made him a great feast. Not a feast, but a great feast. This was a man of wealth. He lost something. He left some things. When God calls you, he's going to call you to leave some stuff.
Yes.
You're going to have to leave something. You tell me that you've been called and you haven't left anything.
Come on now.
I'm going to have a real problem with your salvation.
Yes.
Because a Christianity that haven't cost you anything is not worth anything.
That's good.
A Christianity that hasn't cost you anything is not worth anything.
Yeah.
If you walk into the store and the people say, here, this is all free today, you'll think something is wrong. You think something was wrong. Listen. And Levi made him, that's Jesus, a great feast in his own house. Now, first thing you do, the first thing you do, if you truly say, the first thing you're going to do if you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're going to take it home.
Yeah.
You're going home with it. You're going home with it. You're taking it home. You're taking it home. Listen. I'm back in Mark. I'm going to talk about this man real quick. He was full of devils. Called himself Legion. Okay? He was full of devils. Okay? If you're not full of the Holy Spirit, you're full of devils. I know that may be a little strong. You're full of something. Okay? You're full of something. He says, verse 15 of Mark 5. And said, and they come to Jesus and to see him that was possessed with a devil. He was possessed. Why was he possessed? Because Jesus rebuked that devil and it entered into the swine and ran violently down into the water. And in verse 15, and when they come to Jesus to see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed. Okay? Before he was naked. Running around naked. Crazy. Living in tombs with dead folks. You know, we have a culture now that live in tombs.
Yeah.
You walk the shirts and you go out to Bayou City, but Gabriel, all the shirts got bones and skulls. Yeah. And we glorify dead. We glorify death. I see some of the stuff that the people write on their devils and demons. They put marking themselves with it.
Yeah.
And here's this man, Legion. He was full of devils. And he was sitting and clothed and in his right mind.
Mm-hmm.
See, we want to fill our kids up with pills. When they need Jesus.
Yeah.
When they need Jesus. Some of them just need Jesus.
That's all.
Ain't nothing wrong with them. They got a demon in them.
Yeah. All right.
And they need Jesus.
Yeah.
And a good kick in the behind.
Yeah.
And a stitching cord. They need Jesus and a stitching cord.
Come on.
Listen to what he says. He says, and he was sitting, he was called, he was in his right mind, and they were afraid.
Yeah.
See, when God saved you, you're going to scare some people.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What you got on clothes for?
Yeah.
You in your right mind. You're going to scare people. Listen what happens. I'm going to jump all the way down to verse 19. Because this man wanted to follow Jesus. He wanted to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
He, and it says in verse 18, and when he was coming to the ship, he that had been past tense, possessed with a devil.
Come on.
I don't care how you slice it. If you saved in here, you was once possessed with a devil.
Amen.
Hey, it might have been a devil of fornication. It could have been a devil of alcohol. Could have been a devil of heroin, crack cocaine. You was possessed with something. Something was controlling you. If God wasn't controlling you, something was controlling you. You were possessed with something. Okay? You weren't innocent. Listen, you weren't born nothing but a sinner.
That's what you were.
Let me touch that. Let me touch that. Listen. This is all of us. Psalms 14. I'm going to read 1 through 3. I usually just read 1. The fool has said in his heart.
Yeah.
This is us. And the preacher's saying us. I'm not saying y'all. This is us. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. That's what the fool said. Here's what the Lord said. See, it's rare in the Lord and the fool on the same page. Verse number 2 says, and the Lord looked down from heaven. That's where he at. And the Lord looked down from heaven
upon the children of men.
That's us.
We didn't come into the world. We was born into the world. Jesus came into the world. Okay? He's the only one that came into the world. All of us were born in the world. Listen, and the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. We all know the answer to that. We can open up some of these seeker-friendly churches and now ain't nobody seeking God. Okay? Listen. Verse number 3. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Okay? Okay? So this possessed man wanted to follow Jesus. And what did Jesus tell him? See him to go home. Howbeit Jesus suffered in verse 19 of Mark 5:19. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and have compassion on thee. And he did what? He departed. He became a follower. He departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all man did marvel. Oh, we need some folks like that. We need some folks to go home and go to their jobs, and we need some young people to go to school and tell them how good God is. Even though I don't have a father, or even though I don't have a mother, but God is still good because I have God. And he's a good God. And he's good every day. Every day you see me, you know God is good. And when you don't see me, don't let them lie to you and say, well, Pastor Neil is dead. Pastor Neil lives. We will live again. This ain't over. It ain't over for Sister Gatlin. She lives. And Levi, back to Luke 5, and Levi made a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and others. Oh, he took it home. He took it to the house and told all his friends about this God that he is now serving. And who did he have to tell it to? He didn't have many people to tell. Just others. Others and publicans. Other wretched folk. Wretched folk hang around wretched folk. See, the church ain't growing when you jumping from church to church. Church ain't growing when you leaving the church going to the church ain't growing. Ah, that pastor over there, his church falling apart. I hope they come over here. Church ain't growing. Okay? The church is growing when unsaved folk get saved and go out and tell others. Others. Tell their folks that they hung around. You know, I'm not drinking no more. I ain't doing this no more. I ain't partying no more. I have a new love in my life in the person of Jesus Christ. And you can have them too. You can have them too. Listen to what he says. And others that sat down with them. Here's Jesus Christ and his disciples sitting down with others. Folks, do you love unsaved people? This church will never grow if we don't love unsaved folks. If the only people we love is professional business type folks, church will never grow. Do you love the down and out? Do you love the cocaine addict? Do you love the prostitute? Do you love the homosexual? Do you love the people that we need to reach and tell them about Jesus? And tell them about Jesus. Listen. They sat down to eat with these folks. And when you sat down to eat with anyone in that day, it was a sign that there was a mutual agreement that we were family. Breaking bread. Breaking bread. Listen to what he says. And he sat down with them. Jesus came to see
and saved. The law of Luke 19:10. That's the whole theme of the Bible. He came to seek and save the lost. Thank God we was lost. That's the only part we had in our salvation.
Amen.
Is the fact that we was lost.
Amen.
Can't call you if you're not lost. You don't call nobody that's not lost. But the scribes and the Pharisees murmured against the disciples. That word murmur means it's like the sound of a bee.
Come on.
You ever had a bee in a room? And it's just buzzing around. And you know it's somebody going to get stung. Because you know always the Pharisees were fault finders. They don't care how the service went. They had a problem with it. God forbid we have fault finders in the church. They come in, they're not looking for God. They're looking for fault. They look for what went wrong or what's not right. That's a Pharisee spirit. Murmured against the disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" See, a Pharisee had nothing to do with a publican. Where's that at? Luke 18. Luke 18:10. It says two men went up to the temple to pray. And remember that. Remember that.
Yeah.
Let me read that again. Two men went up into the temple to pray. That's what they went there for. They went there to pray. A Jew in that day prayed three times a day. And they went to the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Now listen to this. Listen to this Pharisee's prayer. Because it's all about him. The Pharisee stood. The normal praying position was to kneel. But the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Now you don't go to the temple to pray to yourself. You can do that at home.
Right.
But he went to the temple to show off. And he prayed thus with himself. This is what it is. This is his prayer. "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week." Now, I studied that some more, and it was only required to fast once a year. "I fast twice a week, so you owe me. God, I give tithes of all I possess." Really? There's some folks in here who believe they give tithes of all they possess. You don't. Okay?
Man.
Because if you catch a sale at Sears, and that man said, "Well, this washer and dryer usually sells for $1,600, but I'm gonna give it to you for $1,000. You need to tithe that $600 that you just saved. Okay. I'm not gonna get on. I'm gonna let the trustees get a little shit. I don't know. Listen. "I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all I possess." This man had, he was so self-righteous. Oh, he's so self-righteous. "Listen to the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast." Breath, that's a picture of a sinful, broken, contrite spirit. He's saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Somebody here need mercy today.
Amen.
Somebody need mercy today. What is mercy? What is mercy? God not giving us what we deserve. I tell you, verse 14,
this man
went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased. And he that humble himself shall be exalted.
Amen.
Let's look at this great feast and close. It said Levi made a great feast in his own house, and there were a great company of publicans and the others that sat down with him. How comfortable are you around sinners? Why are you scared? God didn't give us the spirit of fear. Some of us are so scared we won't even go to the mall at 6 o'clock on Saturday.
Come on.
We're scared of the folks that God sent us here to witness to. Oh, they don't look like me. They don't dress like me. They don't talk like me. God only made one of you.
Right.
We really don't need a church full of. God made one Pastor Neil. We only need one. Some folks say, well, we might not even need that one. But we only need one. God hasn't called the church to be a body of clones.
Right.
Where we all, oh, well, the pastor got a bald head. I'm going to shave my hair. Everybody has a bald head. But the pastor, you know, he speaks like this. And, you know, you go to some church and they all sound the same. And they all dress the same, and they all look the same. Like, man, what is that? The Stepford Baptist Church. Listen. Verse 30. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat with publicans and sinners? Now, remember, we studied the story of the rich of the prodigal son. And when these Pharisees showed up at that feast, and they were having a party. They were having a wonderful time until the elder brother came. And the elder brother came and he represented the Pharisees. See, why y'all partying? This is no time to party. Anytime someone gets saved. Anytime someone gets saved. We ought to have a feast. We ought to have a feast. We ought to have a ham in the refrigerator. Waiting for someone to walk this aisle and say, I'm saved. We ought to have a party ready. We ought to have a party ready. That's biblical.
That's right.
That's biblical. Read it. When someone gets saved, somebody, when you have an invitation, someone gets saved, you ought to run to the kitchen. Start setting it out. Time to party. Time to celebrate. The Bible said the angels in heaven
rejoice.
With one lost sinner. Somebody can say today, somebody ought to run the Little Caesars and get 20 pizzas. Oh, and Levi made a great feast. I know that makes sense. And I know I'm hungry too, but it makes sense. I'll probably be praying somebody gets saved. Listen. But the scribes and the Pharisees murmured against the disciples. That's you always going to have. Well, that ain't can't be real. You always have one. Listen. And he says, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans? And Jesus answered and said unto them. Verse 31.
Yes.
They that are whole need not a physician. That's a play on words.
Yes.
Because see, the Bible says in Romans 8 says there's none righteous. No, not one. So Jesus was just praying with them. So y'all think y'all whole. That's what he was saying. He said, y'all think y'all have it all together. Here's folks in here that think they have it all together.
Uh-huh.
They think they're whole. They don't need a Savior.
Yeah.
He said, they that are whole need not a Savior, but they that are sick. Somebody needs to say, I'm sick.
Yeah.
And I need a Savior. If I go on living like this, I'm destined to go to hell. I know I'm living wrong. I know I'm living rotten. I know I'm despised and rejected of God. I need a Savior. But then your word is going to get laughed at. You're going to get mocked.
Yeah.
Bible says weeping may endure for a night. But joy come in the morning. That's not always a funeral scripture. All who call on the name of the Lord shall be persecuted. All you have to do is say, you know what? I done heard that preacher. I have to give my life to the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And the moment you say that, Satan's hellhounds are going to be on you.
Yeah.
You get phone calls from folks who hadn't heard of in years.
Right.
Because you're going to switch. He said, I'm leaving this side. I'm leaving Satan's dominion. I'm leaving Satan's army. And I'm joining up with the Lord.
Amen.
And Satan ain't happy with that.
Amen.
But when God saves you, he don't give you the spirit of fear.
Yeah.
Oh, but he gives you the spirit of power. Right. And Paul said in Romans 1:16, he said, for... Listen to that. He said, salvation comes with power. Okay? Salvation comes with power. And when you get saved, you get power. And if you're saved here and you have no power, there's a problem. There's a problem. Because you know, when you fill with the Holy Spirit, you have power to walk away, power to live a different way.
Come on.
Mm. And Jesus answered and said unto them, they that are whole, they that got it all together, or think they do, need not a physician, but they that are sick.
Yeah.
He said, I came not to call the righteous. Romans 3:10 said, there's not one, but sinners to repentance. God came to call sinners to repentance.
Amen.
Repentance is making a 160-degree turn. Moving away from a prior lifestyle and turning 160 degrees. Not 360, but 180 rather. And living a different way. 360 gives me sideways a little bit. I'm still turning.
Yes, sir.
I'm still turning away from some stuff. Is there someone in here who needs to repent today?
Yes.
Is there someone in here that needs to say, you know what? Enough of this madness.
Amen.
Enough of these streets. Enough of abusing myself with stuff. Enough of serving the little G God. I want to serve a big God. I got big issues and I need a big God. All caps. I need a big God. Does someone in here need a big God today? I need a big God today. I need a big God today. And if you say in here, you need a big God. Because God has called us all to do wonderful works. We look at Levi and we see God use him. Hadn't been a word spoken in 500 years and God called the most wicked of all the disciples, the most evil and wicked of all of them. And I know somebody said, well, Judas was the most wicked one. Judas was not the most wicked apostle. Matthew was evil and wicked. He was a thief and extortioner. He probably killed folks to get his money. And God showed him mercy. Somebody need mercy today. Somebody needs God's grace today. Somebody needs God's power today. Somebody needs God's peace today. Somebody needs the Lord. Psalm says, if it had not been the Lord on my side, tell me, where would I be? If it had not been for God's grace and his mercy, many of us in here today would be long gone. We serve a God of mercy. And even today, he's given us time. One more day. Brother Jones say it all the time. One more day. God has given us one more Sunday to come to the house of the Lord. Oh, there's no one here by happenstance. You're not here by accident. You didn't just wake up and decide on your own to come to God's house. God called you for such a time as this.
Yes, sir.
to come to his house and to hear God's word, maybe for the last time. We don't know. Hebrews 9 and 27 saying it is appointed unto man once to live or once to die, and after that the judgment. Funeral home, be busy this week. They be busy this week. If you're here today and you need the Lord, you know you need the Lord. You need to say, God, give me the power to rise up. Give me the power to rise up. Not to walk this aisle. There's nothing biblical. There's nothing in the Bible about walking an aisle, sitting in a chair. You can save it on your way home.
Yeah.
You grab that bulletin we gave you, that program, and my number's on it. My cell phone number, my home number, and I will talk to you. And tell you the way of salvation. There's nothing wrong with coming down here and making a public confession that I have given my life to the Lord. Because if you have, you ought to be baptized. You ought to invite all your friends and say, I'm going to be baptized. I have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I want to let the whole world know that by being baptized, when I come up out of this water,
come on.
Oh, I'm going to be something new. All my sins will be washed away. And I'm going to be new. And watch me. You watch me. And I'm watching Ray, and I'm watching Cameron, and I'm watching Larry. Oh, there ought to be a change in me. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the doors of the church are open. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your holy Bible. Father God, right now, Father God, I pray right now that you would just, as you gave Matthew, as you gave Levi, you gave him strength, Father God, to walk away from some stuff. You gave him strength, Father God, to leave it all. You gave him strength, Father God, to rise up. And you gave him strength, Father God, to repent. Repentance, Father God, is a gift from God. And you gave him not only time to repent, but Father God, you gave him the power to repent. And Father God, there may be someone in here today, Father God, that needs power. That needs power to walk away from a relationship with not just a person, but a relationship with a dying world.
Yes.
Satan, Father God, has been revealed. He is a liar. He is a father of lies. He's the accuser of the brethren. And Father God, I just pray right now that you would just touch a heart, touch a soul, touch a mind today. Touch a lost soul that would go out, Father God, and tell 50 lost folks, oh, did I meet Jesus today? And he spoke to me so clearly about my circumstances, I had to surrender. And now I belong to him. Father, we pray right now. We pray, Father God, for our visitors that are here, Father God. Father God, we pray for the young people, the children that are here, Father God. Let them continue to grow up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Father God, we pray right now for role models among the saved. Father, we pray for marriages that's in this place today, Father God. Marriage is under attack, Father God, because marriage represents the relationship between Jesus Christ and his church. We pray for churches, Father God, that are struggling, Father God. We pray for wayward members, Father God. We pray for folks that have been so frustrated with church, they've raised their hands and said, I'll never go to church again. We pray for all the lost souls that are at the flea market right now, Father God, eating sausage sandwiches and meatballs and french fries and have not a care in the world for the things of God. We pray for lost souls that are right now riding around on golf carts, drinking beers and hitting balls and not a care in the world about the things of God. Father God, we pray for our great city. Father God, it is a great city. We pray for it, Father God. We pray for all the young brothers that are running around, Father God, calling each other the N-words and cussing and beating and raping women. Father God, we pray that you would just move on them. Touch them, Father God.
Bless them, Father God. Raise up fathers, Father God, in this city. Raise up men of God that want to be men. Men that aren't afraid, Father God, to say, I'm a man of God and I'm going to lead my family and I'm going to stand with my children in church. I'm going to treat my wife like a queen. I'm going to love her, Father God, with everything I have. Raise them up. Raise them up, Father God. The church is built on families. And again, Father God, I pray for this message. I pray, Father God, what it has done to my spirit, how it has ministered to me.
Yes,
Lord. I'm better because of it, Father God. I pray, Father God, that the folks that heard it today would be empowered by the word of God. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. And the doors of the church remain open as Reverend Jones
closes. To Jesus I surrender. All of you,
Him.
I believe in Him.